While the next Congress includes more women than ever before, the sexual ratio remains way below 50-50, and that applies not just to electoral politics, but to the ranks of government officials. Yes, we've seen three women as Secretary of State, but what about the Pentagon and U.S. intelligence agencies? Important, argues Jane Harman, the president of our host today, the Woodrow Wilson Center, not just as demographic justice, but because women lead differently. Prior to her job here, Jane Harman served 9 terms in Congress from California's 36th District and served as chair of the House Intelligence Committee. Welcome back to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
And thanks very much for being our host today.
We're delighted to host this. I, by the way, am the first president and CEO of the Wilson Center who happens to be a woman, and we do have women in all of our programming. Today, we have me, but I will try to be as substantive as possible because I know how much it matters to have a woman's voice as part of the conversation on every issue.
Why is it important? What element of leadership do women bring to the job that is different?
Well, women don't always lead differently. Some women lead the same. But women bring, as Barbara Jordan, a former and beloved member of Congress from Texas, as she said, a broader lens. I think in more cases than not, not in every case, women are the support systems and the caregivers and the protectors of the nest. And when you have to be half awake all night listening to a baby cry or worrying if your mother is okay in some healthcare setting or worrying about your husband's something, and at the same time you have a big job, you have a broader lens. And so I think that helps us. And I watched women lead in Congress. I watched a small number grow into a bigger number. And it is thrilling to think that 20% of the Senate is now female.
As you looked, as you came into Congress, as you looked towards exemplars, who did you follow as a model?
Well, that was very clear. She wasn't in Congress when I was elected, but she became a good friend of mine when in the 80s I was counsel to the Democratic Platform Committee, and she was Geraldine Ferraro. I thought she was an extraordinary leader, the first ever woman nominated on a major party ticket. She was the vice presidential nominee in 1984, for those of you who have forgotten that in some way. But she had it all, I thought. And that campaign was a rugged campaign, and they lost badly. But she stayed in the game. She tried to come back. Well, she had to give up her House seat to run for vice president, something I actually did to run for governor of California, which I lost. And then I came back to the House. But Jerry tried to come back twice to be senator from New York. Didn't happen. But even at the end, after battling cancer for 12 years, I remember the election night of 2010. I looked up on my TV, and there was Geraldine Ferraro on television in her last months on one of the election commentary channels. I think it was Fox, actually, fighting it out. And it was just so moving.
There are some who would say, we've seen examples of women in political leadership and say, was Margaret Thatcher different?
I didn't know Margaret Thatcher. Interestingly, she was interviewed by Laura Liswood, someone who started something called the Council of Women World Leaders, which is now migrated to the Wilson Center. It is the group of women who head countries. And at the time it was started in the mid-90s, Thatcher said she would take the interview, but only after every other woman head of a country was interviewed. There were 8 at the time. There are now 20. We're getting up there. There have been 49. And a woman may soon be elected in South Korea, so then we'll be 21. But at any rate, Thatcher's origins were certainly not unusual. She was a grocer's daughter. How she came to be so fierce in politics is unknown. That quality is useful at that level, and very few people, female or male, have that quality.
Susan is on the line with us from San Rafael in California.
Good afternoon, fans of you both. My comment is I'm 55 and a former executive of an insurance company, and I think that what women bring to the table are both being consensus builders and better listeners, and I think those two things are really linked. My experience with men in the executive workforce, and this would be even at the executive leadership level, is that they listen only to a certain point, and if their point isn't being supported, they tend to stop listening. And I think women grow up differently. It may be even genetic. It starts on the playground where we build better relationships because we listen more, and we enjoy sharing more. And I think that consensus building is really the critical feature. I'll take your reply off the air.
All right, Susan. Thanks very much for the call.
Well, I agree, but I don't think you can generalize that to all women. I'd say more women do that. Women are problem solvers in the rest of our lives. And I saw women in Congress trying very hard to solve problems, women in both parties in Congress trying to solve problems. Maybe it is a male trait, you know, whatever. But a lot of many males tend to fight more. You're right, listen less. But I do think the caller is right that women solve problems. And I wish Congress solved more problems. The paradigm, sadly, in politics now is to blame the other side for not solving the problem, rather than work with them to solve the problem. Why is that? Because politically, that works. We saw that in this campaign, and hopefully we are now in Obama 2.0 and Boehner 2.0, and we're going to solve problems, not just the fiscal cliff, but a lot of other problems.